J.D. Vance, after crushing it last night, is taking questions from the media right now at a campaign event in Michigan. Let's begin there and jump in and hear what he's talking about. Let's do that. Start the show. Take a listen.
This idea that our leaders ought to persuade their fellow citizens, not try to shut them up, which is what Kamala Harris wants to do. Open this country up. Open up the dialogue and open up the debate, and that is how you bring American citizens back together in these divided times. But on the second question about what do you do when you disagree with Donald Trump, the answer is, first of all, Donald Trump is at the top of the Republican ticket. He will be the next president of the United States. I've got two responsibilities. I've got two responsibilities. The first is to support the president in enacting an agenda that I believe is going to lead to rising take-home pay and lower inflation for American citizens. That's number one. But of course, if I disagree with the president, it is my responsibility to talk to him about it and to offer honest counsel in private. And one of the things that I love about Donald Trump is that he takes advice and feedback from everybody. You know, it's funny, when the president, the only conversation that he and I ever had about whether I might become his vice presidential nominee was the Saturday before the convention. If you remember, that was the Saturday where he was shot in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I saw him that morning in Florida. We ended our conversation. He hopped in a plane and flew to Pennsylvania, where, of course, an assassin nearly took his life. And you know what the president told me? He said that he talked to everybody about who his vice presidential nominee should be. And I think that's one of the great things, is he's willing to take feedback. Of course, he makes the final decision, but he's willing to take inputs from everybody. And he even said that he was talking to the Mar-a-Lago gardener about who the vice presidential nominee should be. And I said, well, sir, what the hell did the Mar-a-Lago gardener say? Because this affects my life. I'm very curious what these people you're talking to are saying about this very important decision. But I think that it's one of the great things about his leadership style is he is in charge, he is in command, but he makes decisions after getting as much information as possible, and that's how the country should be led. You know, it actually raised an important question, you know, Robert, and I know, of course, the journalist who's asking this question. Look, one of the things that people in D.C. say about Kamala Harris, and it's Democrats that say this, it's people she served with in the Senate, and it's also Republicans, and of course they say this in private, but they'll say Kamala Harris is very insecure. She doesn't like to be challenged. If you don't like to be challenged and you don't like to engage in open debate, you should be nowhere near the Oval Office of the United States of America.
J.D. Vance taking some questions here.
Thank you. Charlie Langton from Fox News, WBJ here.
Hey, Charlie.
I talked to a lot of people here. They also said you were very cordial last night in the debate, and the message got through. But compare your style to Donald Trump's style, where he was a little aggressive. Do you think that Donald Trump's message sometimes is lost because of his aggressive style?
No, Charlie, look. I think, first of all, there is a media caricature out there of Donald Trump that is so different from the man that I've come to know. And I think that, you know, when he called me last night, you know what he said? He asked me how my wife was doing. And he said, you know, you just had a hell of a debate. I'm sure that you were nervous. You had every right to be nervous. But go and have a nice meal with your wife and go and enjoy this moment. Like, that's the Donald Trump that I know. People say. Now, look, the other thing I love about Donald Trump, and I think it's true of all of us, we can be so devoted to and so grateful to this country and its incredible opportunities, but then also be kind of pissed off that the leadership is failing this great nation. There's no contrast, there's no tension in saying on the one hand, we've got the greatest country in the world, and on the other hand, Kamala Harris is doing everything she can to screw it up. And I love that Donald Trump can do both of those things at the same time. He can go out there and talk to the American people and be warm and engaged. He can talk to a normal American citizen about their struggles in paying for groceries and housing under Kamala Harris's policies. And then he can go on a debate stage and tell Kamala Harris that she ought to stop screwing up and she ought to stop talking about solving the country's problems. She ought to go and actually do it. That's the kind of president we need. That's the kind of leader that we need. And I think his message gets through. Thank you.
J.D. Vance taking questions in the must-win state of Michigan right now.
Senator Craig Mauger from the Detroit News newspaper here. You were talking about your opposition to EV mandates. My question is, do you think the government should have any role in incentivizing, providing financial assistance to battery plants, to electric vehicle plants? Michigan is poised to benefit from some of these investments. Will you allow those to go forward? Will you try to interfere with those? Thank you.
Well, look, I think there's certainly a role, and I believe this, I know Donald Trump believes this, in encouraging innovation, but there's a difference between promoting innovation and sending hundreds of billions of dollars to favored industries that make their products in China. These are two very, very different things. And here's The problem with a lot of these EV mandates is that this money was supposed to go to American workers, but Kamala Harris's IRS found every way possible to allow that EV subsidy to go to manufacturers in China and not in the United States of America. And here's the other problem with it. It's not just auto jobs that we're worried about here. Think about all the people who make carburetors. Think about all the people who make transmissions. There's an entire supply chain in the auto industry that China dominates when it comes to EVs and America dominates when it comes to gas-powered cars. So before we go and subsidize the EV industry, let's open up the American supply chain for that industry so that American workers and American consumers benefit. All of the minerals, all of the rare earth materials, a lot of the battery technology, a lot of the supply chain for these electric vehicles is made in China. And with the one hand, Kamala Harris wants to make it harder to build that supply chain in the United States of America. And with the other hand, she wants to send money to an industry that's built in China. It's disgraceful, and we got to stop doing it. Invest in American workers, not in Chinese workers and Chinese firms. And I know we unfortunately have to go our next stop in the great state of Michigan. So I'll take one more question, and then I'll offer a final observation. Then we'll hit the road.
Hi, Senator Will Jones from Local 4.
Hey, Will.
I spoke with some elected officials or election officials last week about their concern about people who are trying to undermine our elections. Why didn't you answer the question last night during the debate about who won the 2020 presidential election?
Well, look, here's the simple reason. The media is obsessed with talking about the election of 4 years ago. I'm focused on the election of 33 days from now because I want to throw Kamala Harris out of office and get back to common sense economic policies. I also think you can believe that America needs to have secure and free elections, but also talk about the fact that just a couple of weeks ago, Democrats in the U.S. Congress blocked a piece of legislation that would have ensured illegal aliens don't vote in our elections. If you believe in American democracy, if you believe in our constitutional republic, you should be trying to strengthen American election integrity and not weaken it. So we're going to talk about election integrity because I believe that every vote ought to count, but only the legally cast votes, and that's why we fight for election integrity, and that's why we care so much about it. Now this
very important place for the next.
All right, we'll jump out of this. J.D. Vance took some questions from the media. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Streaming live on YouTube for your watching and chatting pleasure. I got a big show for you today. Congressman Dan Muser is going to be here. David Urban. We got a lot to break down. But the big debate last night, obviously, The big debate last night is what's on everybody's mind right now. And Tim Walz was such a buffoon last night. I mean, unbelievable. You know, I'm still amazed. I really am amazed at this Midwestern goofball, this Midwestern doofus, and why they picked this guy. He's so bad. I mean, coming out and saying last night, I'm a knucklehead. I'm a knucklehead? You say that? You know, if you were going to a job interview and you came out and you said, I'm a knucklehead, you'd never get that job. I'm a knucklehead. If you ever came out and said that, they'd be like, all right, well, we're not going to hire you. I'm a knucklehead. And then the whole thing with, you know, the misspeak about it, I've been friends with school shooters. I get it. Like, people blow lines. I understand that that happens. But, like, come on. This guy blew it badly last night. And I heard, you know, there's a clip I have. I have a lot of clips for you today. But there is a clip I have of the woman who hosts Meet the Press on the weekend, Kristen Welker. And you know what she said? She said, I'm getting phone calls, all these calls and texts from people saying that there's a panic setting in the Democrat Party right now. There's a legitimate panic setting in right now in the Democrat Party over Tim Walz. And why not? Think about it. He brings nothing to the table. The guy is now costing them votes. They needed a goofy white guy from the Midwest. They could have gone with Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, and maybe had a shot of winning Pennsylvania. But Walz last night, he came across unprepared, goofy, that deer in headlights look he had so many times last night. Just play, DeSantis, play the knucklehead clip. I don't know which one it is, but you know which one it is. Play the knucklehead clip, because that's the one. He was addressing Tiananmen Square and what happened there and the fact that he misspoke that about that. And then he came out and said, I'm a knucklehead sometimes. You don't say that. Nobody, you're not supposed to say that. The goofy thing only goofy knuckleheads say. Take a listen.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17, worked on family farms, and then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher, passionate about it, a young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China. 35 years ago, be able to do that. I came back home and then started a program to take young people there. We would take basketball teams, we would take baseball teams, we would take dancers, and we would go back and forth to China. The issue for that was to try and learn. Now look, my community knows who I am. They saw where I was at. Look, I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect. And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been about that. Those same people elected me to Congress for 12 years.
All right, now, DeSantis, just isolate the knucklehead part, because I don't care about all the rest of the babble. And we're going to need that several times throughout the show today and probably going forward from now until 34 days in the election. All right. So just clip that part for me. And then we need that. And we're going to have to keep that. And Vance was great. Vance was great. So look, it's Walz is a goofball, but J.D. Vance crushed it last night. And I'll tell you the reason why he did. And here's the reason why. He was sharp. He was prepared. He came across likable. There's no question in my mind last night that if people were thinking, okay, listen, Trump is getting up there. There's been two assassination attempts. The job of the vice president matters. Maybe they're dialed in more now in this election for maybe now, because we used to always say the vice president doesn't matter. But I think that this is a different time right now. This is a different election. If they think that, then what they saw on that stage last night in J.D. Vance was a guy who could assume the presidency like that. Just like that. And even though the media is trying to spin it like his beard is somehow toxic masculinity, I'm kidding. I kid you not. That his beard is toxic masculinity. Even though they're saying that about him, which is just complete BS. Everybody. I have a friend who doesn't like Donald Trump, who even sent a note and said, I got to tell you, J.D. Vance was great and he won. And it gave me hope that if Trump wins, there'll be a stable guy there. And this Trump-hating person who sent me this note also said that she thought J.D. Vance crushed the abortion question, too, which was crucial. And so he had a great night last night. He had a great night. And I think that, he, you know, the other part about this, too, and you got to realize something about these elections, and that is that if you are looking at Tim Walz as the governor of Minnesota and thinking to yourself, all right, they're positioning this guy as the dad, the coach, America's dad, goofy, relatable, Midwestern doofus looking kind of guy. That's not what people are looking for right now. They're not. They're looking for stable, steady leadership. They're not looking for goofy. I don't know at what point in the Kamala Harris war room they decided, let's go with goofy. Let's go with Goofy and Mr. Magoo, and let's get that guy in there. I mean, I said yesterday on the show, he reminds me of Chris Farley when Chris Farley used to do motivational speaker Matt Foley. And the Daily Caller actually posted a picture today, and I'm not saying that they're listening to the show. I know they do, and that's great. But they posted on Instagram a big thing of Chris Farley going up to everybody and hugging them in the crowd and knocking people over, and that's what Walz comes across as, at Goofy. You know, people don't want that. I mean, the world's on freaking fire right now. We got dock workers on strike for the second day. We got potential World War III breaking out in the Middle East. They don't want a big, giant goofball. They want somebody who's going to have steady leadership. And I think that the mistake of not picking Josh Shapiro because he's Jewish, and let's face it, that's the reason why they didn't pick Josh Shapiro, that mistake will haunt them forever. Forever. That's going to be, and I think they're going to lose. And when they lose, that's going to be one of, if not the top reasons why. Well, that and they have a terrible candidate at the top of the ticket. But maybe Shapiro could have saved that. I don't know. But Walz certainly can't. In fact, Walz deducts points. So if you think you got a bad candidate at the top and then you think to yourself, well, I got to deduct, you know, either add points or deduct. He brings down points. He takes points down, this guy. That's what he does. Bad all over. Bad candidate. And what does he bring geographically? Minnesota, a state you're already going to win? Now, Vance came across last night as a guy who overcame hardship, an American success story, a guy with the American dream. Like, if I crawled up from Appalachia, you can too. And I was really struck by his closing statement last night when he talked about the fact that there were times that they didn't have the heat on in winter in Ohio. And he said, I know there are people right now in America who have that same problem because of the Harris-Biden energy policies. And we can't have that in this country. I thought he came across very empathetic last night. And I also thought it was great for him to push back on the moderators. Because once again, we had a situation where Norah O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan said, we're not going to fact check. Oh, no, silly. We're not going to fact check. Of course they fact-checked. They tried to, and they failed miserably. And Walz is just bad with this. I mean, his opening statement, first of all, came out of the cannon like a goofball who just pounded a Red Bull and did no preparation for the debate whatsoever. And you even had people in the media last night comparing him to how bad Joe Biden was and questioning whether or not Walz needs to get out of the race. Now, I'm not making any predictions here. But I'm just going to tell you this. This is all I'm going to say. Nothing would surprise me at this point if Tim Walz were to suffer a heart attack. A Fugazi heart attack, you know, a fake heart attack. And then have to get out and then have to be replaced with Shapiro. Because after that disaster last night, it was a disaster for him. That debate, let's not even mince words here. J.D. Vance was so good and Walz was so bad. It was a disaster for him. A disaster. And for a campaign that's bleeding guys, I mean, they're losing the support of men everywhere in every demographic, and then you turn around and you go, this friggin' goofball, that's how you're going to... No. You know, the Inquirer has a story today about how Philadelphia, in particular, are losing ground. Democrats are losing ground in deep blue Philly. Working class voters are shifting toward Republicans. In deep blue Philly. That's the article from the Philadelphia Inquirer today. Democrats have lost the most ground in neighborhoods where poverty rates are the highest. It could hurt Kamala Harris in November. You think that doofus is going to win back these people? Absolutely not. No way. No chance. I mean, the Harris campaign is dumb. It's dumb. It's a bad campaign in general. But wow, they got to be thinking to themselves, this is the worst pick ever. This is the worst pick. Here, let's just here. This is now Walt stumbling through his opening statement last night. And exactly what I mean by this as he comes. No, let me do. Actually, there's this. How about this? How about Walt's dodging the question about mass deportations? Can't answer the question. Doesn't answer the question. Doesn't want to. And, you know, this is something where the majority of Americans support this. And Tim Walz can't answer the question in a way that says to those voters, I'm with you. I stand with you. Cut eight.
Governor, what about our CBS News polling, which does show that a majority of Americans, more than 50%, support mass deportations?
Look, we fix this issue with a bill that is necessary. But the issue on this is what happens when you don't want to solve it. You demonize it. And we saw this, and Senator Vance, and it surprises me on this, talking about and saying, I will create stories to bring attention to this. That vilified a large number of people who were here legally in the community of Springfield. The Republican governor said, it's not true. Don't do it. There's consequences for this. There's consequences. We could come together. Senator Lankford did it. We could come together and solve this if we didn't let Donald Trump continue to make it an issue. And the consequences in Springfield were the governor had to send state law enforcement.
Nobody
to
cares.
Kindergartners to school.
No one cares.
I believe Senator Vance wants to solve this, but by standing with Donald Trump and not working together to find a solution, it becomes a talking point. And when it becomes a talking point like this, we dehumanize and villainize other human beings.
This is, you know what he's doing right now? What he's doing is he's speaking to the progressive kook base. No one cares. What they want to hear about is, are you going to support mass deportations? Are you going to do something about the illegal immigrants that are overwhelming our cities? Yes or no? Stop dodging the question, and nobody cares about what's, no one cares. And what happened in Springfield is a fugazi bomb threats from foreign actors. And he is, at his heart, he's a commie. He really is. I mean, he went to China so many times, and he's a progressive kook, and he doesn't want to do mass deportations. That guy doesn't want to deport anybody. No friggin' way. He wants to stay with illegal immigrants. You know that, and I know that. But J.D. Vance was great last night, and he embarrassed the moderators by rebutting their misleading fact check, and then they cut his mic. Oh, yeah. CBS News cut off Vance's mic at the debate as he pushed back on a purported fact check from the debate moderator, Margaret Brennan. He was talking about Springfield, Ohio, and what's going on there, and the explosion of the Haitian immigrant population, cut number three.
And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status, temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Thank
Margaret,
you.
Margaret, the rules were that you guys weren't going to fact check. And since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process. We have so much to get to, Senator.
Those laws have been on the books since 1990.
Thank you, gentlemen.
App has not been on the books since 1990.
It's and they cut his mic. See that?
Gentlemen, your the mics audience are cut. Can't hear you because your mics are cut.
We cut your mics. Cut your mics. But they didn't, I mean, she said, they said at the beginning of the night they weren't going to fact check, and then they fact check. So, it didn't say, sounds to me, Margaret, like, you know, you didn't keep your word there, Margaret, Nora, just saying. If you say you're not going to fact check, and then you fact check, that's not keeping your word. Not that we thought that they would. All right, 855-839-1210, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to get to. A week from Friday, we are live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Are you coming? You better come. It's going to be a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be a blast. I'm so excited. October is beautiful in the fall and in Cape May. October is in the fall, obviously, but in Cape May, it's particularly beautiful. I want to see you there. Grand Hotel of Cape May, 3 to 7 p.m., live show. Just come, all right? Stay for as long as you like. The bar will be open. We'll have a lot of fun together. It's going to be great. 1 week from today. All right, Congressman Dan Muser is going to join me next. His thoughts on the assassination attempt as Donald Trump returns to Butler. We'll ask him about the debate last night. So much more to come. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I got to tell you, one of my favorite parts last night during the debate was when they had an exchange about misinformation and freedom of speech. So I'm going to get to that. But first, I want to welcome back to the show. And listen, follow along on X at Rich Scioli. And we are streaming live on YouTube right now. Congressman Dan Muser, he's back on the show today. I appreciate him coming back. He, of course, represents the 9th Congressional District. And he's a member of the House Committee on Financial Services and Small Business. Congressman, welcome back. How you doing today?
Rich, great to be with you. I'm doing pretty well, pretty well.
Excellent. We got a lot to chat about. Trump's returning to Butler this weekend. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, it is. We're going to have, 70,000 maybe. We're hearing the crowd is going to be large, somewhere in between 30,000 to 70,000, I imagine. Everybody
wow.
and their brother and cousins, not just from Pennsylvania but elsewhere, are calling, looking for tickets, and that's a great thing. And let's face it, I mean, Trump returning there is just it's really an act of courage, but it's even more than that. It's just a way of saying to America, we are not going to be kept down. We're going to keep moving forward. You know, fight, fight, fight. His iconic words after he was attempted to be murdered, assassinated, and he was hit. And, you know, it's going to have a solemnness to it as well. You know, we're there to pay tribute to Corey Compitor, who lost his life protecting his family. Guy comes to a rally to support the president, to bring his daughter. He had his wife with him as well to think about and be supportive of what the future of our country is going to look like. And he gets gunned down by a madman. And very unfortunately, a very lack many failures in the security of the president. So it's going to be a big day. And of course, I'm making the trip out. I'll be there.
Well, I'm glad you're going to be there. That's great. And speaking of what happened that day, we had the hearing last week, the task force on the attempted assassination attempt. I had your colleague, Congressman Mike Kelly, on the show yesterday. We're talking about it. He's the chairman of that task force,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
There's still so many questions left unresolved, mm-hmm. and so much frustration. And the craziest part about the entire thing, there's so many crazy parts. I guess maybe one of the top three is the idea of a Secret Service agent calling a 1-800 number to figure out how a freaking drone works. I mean, come on.
No, just ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. And of course, Mike Kelly's a good friend of mine, and I was there on July 13th with him and Dave McCormick, who's running for U.S. Senate. And, you know, Mike's a patient guy. He's a strong guy, but he's a business person, so there's only so much patience. And at this point, the level of task force, the information that they're receiving is unacceptable, and it's just wrong. And certainly the failures that we're determining, and how they reacted to it. You know, again, I was there, and I didn't really get a sense of, and I was keeping an eye out, a sense of urgency, a sense of potential threat. You know, it was a really hot day, and you know, people were going inside to get into the air conditioning, and there just wasn't leadership with the sense of duty that needed to take place, particularly when they actually had, but they didn't disclose it, the information that there was an Iranian threat, a credible Iranian threat on the president's life. And there are others. There, I don't know if they're considered credible threats, but he's got the Mexican cartels talking about how much better it would be, A, if he loses, but B, if they force the issue. So we've got some dangerous situations. You know, as you said, the failures that occurred, there were local concerns, the local police, and our state troopers did a great job. I mean,
yeah.
They really did. But under the guidance of the Secret Service, which was completely you know, disorganized and fragmented. I mean, the radios didn't work. There were technical failures. There were, you know, just regular comm failures. You know, they saw somebody with a rangefinder, for crying out loud, and they didn't approach him. Do you know the Secret Service had on record one suspicious patron one suspicious person out of the 25,000 or so that were there. It wasn't like a long list of, you know, six or seven or eight or nine people that didn't look right. They had one. And guess who it was? The shooter. And they had that a good couple of hours prior. Why he wasn't approached, why he wasn't asked for his ID, why he wasn't detained. Completely unacceptable.
Yeah, Congressman Dan Muser, I agree. And then the attempts to blame the local authorities that they did, which really frustrated me. I know it frustrated you.
Mayorkas is the biggest coward there is on earth. And he should be not just impeached, he should be imprisoned. Particularly the latest data that we got of 13,000 plus murderers and rapists and violent criminals coming across the border, and he's been silent on it. There's nothing that, the level of anger over these things is pretty high. And what it's got to do is it's got to motivate us to come out and vote. Everybody you know needs to vote, and we need to change course for and save our country.
Congressman Dan Muser's with me. It's great to have him on the show. Your thoughts on the debate last night between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was an outstanding performance by J.D., and I, for one, was not surprised. There was some criticism, shall we say, or not criticism, but people were wondering why J.D. was the pick. Not all, of course. And, you know, I just felt that knowing him, that he was going to come in and articulate the president's America First agenda and make America great again in a very intelligent, somewhat way that would be listened to by perhaps those that had their doubts about President Trump's way of expressing it. And he did just that. I mean, he did fantastic. I mean, he talked about national security, how to strengthen our national security, border, energy policy, of course, how to strengthen our economy. And he talked about common sense, right? You know, boys should not be playing in girls' sports. He talked about, you know, the idea of, you know, Harris thinks genitalia operations on those on death row is a wonderful idea and should be picked up from other states when she was attorney general in California. You know, parents have some oversight of their children's school curriculum, and that we be supportive of law enforcement. You know, real common sense societal, not initiatives, but the way society should be. And, you know, that came across. And he also pointed out how awful Harris' plans are. It's really a continuation of the Biden administration. There's nothing new here. There's not going to be any day one. You know, we're in day, what would it be now, nearly 2,000? Over 1,000. 3.5 times 365.
Don't ask me. I'm no math guy. Yeah. I'm the last guy to ask. Trust me on this one. I'll be at like 3 million, you know, as far as I know. But it feels like 3 million. I can tell you that. It feels like 3 million days.
Yeah, I know, right? And so that needs to be pointed out. He did, you know, the media, for crying out loud. You know, I was talking on CNN a little earlier, and, you know, they had him portrayed as he being J.D. Vance as quote-unquote weird. And my God, he proved last night, nothing weird about him, nothing weird about the American dream coming true, about a poor kid who joins the Marines to move himself up, puts himself through the GI Bill to Ohio State, goes to Yale Law School, goes into business, that makes a career, and at still a young age, comes back home to Ohio and dedicates himself to public service. If the left thinks that's weird, you know what? That doesn't surprise me that the left thinks that's weird. But I'll tell you who's weird, Walz. I mean, this guy, how about last night in the debate? He couldn't tell the truth about whether or not he was in China during the Tiananmen Square uprising and defeat and crushing by the Chinese Communist Party. He couldn't tell the truth about that last night. And of course, he lied about being in war. He lied about his rank. I mean, this is the guy who Kamala feels most comfortable with to have as a running mate.
Well, they share the same progressive kooky policies on the economy and on the environment, energy, and so many other things. They're kindred spirits on that point. I tell you, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it is socialism. You know, big government, price controls, takeovers of the private sector, no respect for the private sector whatsoever, and, you know, catering to special interest. And I'll tell you something, that's why this longshoremen strike, not to get into that, but this is a serious issue.
Yeah.
And because there's so look, I'm favorable to working men and women in our country. I'm favorable to unions. I'm favorable to non-union workers too. I respect them greatly. But when something is going to cripple our economy and will have effects that will be long lasting, this thing's got to be resolved in the next 2 or 3 days. And the Biden administration's sitting back. He's I don't know if he's at the beach. You know, Kamala's out in San Francisco, or I did hear she graced the people of North Carolina or Georgia by going down there for a photo op. I mean, look, these people are phonies. And I will tell you this. I think in last night's debate, and I think President Trump versus Harris, J.D. and President Donald J. Trump want America to know them. They're doing everything they can, taking all the questions, having all the press conferences. They want the American voter to know them. On the other hand, Harris and Waltz are doing everything they can to desperately make America not know them, to pretend and be phonies as to actually who they really are and what they want to do. And there's a great con taking place, and the American people can't fall for it.
Congressman, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Follow him on social media at Rep Muser, and please come back and join us again. Have fun at the rally on Saturday in Butler. Trump's triumphant return, your triumphant return to Butler, Pennsylvania. So have a great time.
As well. And Rich, hey, keep it up. Huh? You are a common sense, enjoyable voice, and we need you. If we ever can get you out on the campaign trail, I know you got you're busy taking care of what you are. But we could use you because, you know, common sense and initiative we need more of. So you're appreciated very much.
Well, listen, I appreciate you saying that. I'm happy to help. I'd love to join you on the campaign trail. That sounds like a blast. Let's make it happen. I think that'd be great. We got 34 days to go. We got to win this. Whoever wins Pennsylvania wins the White House. So let's do it, my friend.
You got it. Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. Keep up the fight. You're a patriot. Congressman Dan Muser. Appreciate it, my friend.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
855-839-1210 and on Twitter at Rich Scioli if you want to check in and let us know how you're doing on all things. We are streaming live on YouTube right now. Chat along with the YouTube community. Got a whole little YouTube chat going on. It's great stuff. Got a couple trolls in there. That's all right. That happens. Don't worry about that. Kirk's all over that. We'll take care of those people. Nip them right in the bud.
Absolutely.
All right? Nip them right in the bud. Now, we are broadcasting live, as we always do, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios. And it's great to be to know that they support us and have our back. And we appreciate them very, very much. How does this sound for you? A lease on the Volvo S60, $369 a month for 36 months. This is a beautiful sedan with all the technology and all of the beautiful, beautiful bells and whistles that you expect, fast and stylish and made in the United States of America at their plant in South Carolina. That is what I'm talking about. That's what the S60 is all about. And I drove that car for many months. I loved it. I loved it. It was great. So check it out. But maybe you want a different car. Maybe you want to go SUV. For example, they have the XC90. That's the Scioli family car with the third row. That's what we drive. Get the kids all their sports practices, get them down to Cape May, family vacation, plenty of cargo space, plenty of room for everything, and we get there safe and sound because it is the safest 7-person SUV on the road by far. Either way, at Cherry Hill Volvo, they're going to give you the treatment you deserve, the luxury experience you deserve, and Judith Krupnik always does the right thing. She prides herself on that. Ever since her father started the dealership 62 years ago, they've been in business serving customers, and so many of them, like myself, customers for life. So go see them today. They're right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, minutes from the bridge, easy to get to. And remember, $369 for a 36-month lease on the beautiful S60 made at their plant in South Carolina at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Favorite exchanges last night was on the First Amendment, and Tim Walz got it wrong on both hate speech and yelling fire in a crowded theater. I literally got it wrong on both of those things last night during the vice presidential debate. So let's hear that exchange, shall we? This is J.D. Vance calling out Tim Walz for his support of censoring the views of American citizens. Cut 28.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship. Obviously, Donald Trump and I think that there were problems in 2020. We've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it further. But you guys attack us for not believing in democracy. The most sacred right under the United States democracy is the First Amendment. You yourself have said there's no First Amendment right to misinformation. Kamala Harris wants to use the power of government and big tech to silence people from speaking their minds. That is a threat to democracy that will long outlive this present political moment. I would like Democrats and Republicans to both reject censorship. Let's persuade one another. Let's argue about ideas, and then let's come together afterwards.
You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's the test. That's the Supreme Court test.
Tim, fire in a crowded theater. You guys wanted to kick people off of Facebook for saying that toddlers shouldn't
wear
masks.
Senator, the governor does have the floor.
Fire in a crowded theater. That is criticizing the policies of the government, which is the right of every American.
Senator, the governor does have the floor for 1 minute to respond to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't run Facebook.
First of all, I want to, he said hate speech is you can't do, hate speech is protected speech. Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, right here in Philadelphia, they fight for the First Amendment. I'm going to quote them, the First Amendment recognizes that the government cannot regulate hate speech without inevitably silencing the dissent and dialogue that democracy requires. Instead, we as citizens possess the power to most effectively answer hateful speech, whether through debate, protest, questioning, laughter, silence, or simply walking away. Hate speech is, at least for now, protected speech in America. I know the left would love to have hate speech laws, and they'd love to chip away the First Amendment as much as possible, but they can't, because we don't know what hate speech is. We don't know how to define hate speech. It's up to whoever's in power. But the second thing is this whole idea of you can't yell fire in a crowd. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Actually, that's not true either. That's not the Supreme Court test. Reason.com. Again, this is incorrect. It's actually a common misconception that shouting fire in a crowded theater is not protected by the First Amendment. A myth that originates from a hypothetical used in Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes' 1919 Supreme Court opinion in Schenck versus United States. Holmes wrote that, quote, the most stringent protection of free speech would not protect a man in falsely shouting fire in a theater and causing a panic, end quote. Not only was this a purely hypothetical example used to explain Holmes' opinion, but the ruling itself was largely overturned 50 years later in Brandenburg v. Ohio. The real problem with the fire in a crowded theater discourse, as Naval Academy professor Jeff Kossoff wrote for Reason last year, is that it too often is used as a placeholder justification for regulating any speech that someone believes is harmful or objectionable. In reality, the Supreme Court has defined narrow categories of speech that are exempt from First Amendment protections and set an extraordinarily high bar for imposing liability for other types of speech. The worst part about all this is for Walz, his sloppy revealing answers on free speech derailed so much of who the guy is by his past examples of literally saying the First Amendment does not protect hate speech. And then also the time when he was governor of Minnesota, having neighbors call and rat out their friends and their neighbors. But, you know, I'm telling you, guys like Walz, guys like people like Kamala Harris and these other people, Fauci, all these, they hate the First Amendment. They hate freedom of speech. They hate that you can chat away on YouTube. I don't control Facebook. Golly gee. Now, listen, it's not that. It's just that this guy, like all authoritarians, doesn't like the fact that you can disagree with the intelligentsia. Doesn't like the fact that you can disagree with the powers that be. And what did we play yesterday on the show? We played Horseface John Kerry saying the same thing, right? Well, the problem in a democracy is Lurch is the First Amendment. They hate it. They hate it. You can disagree on climate change. You can disagree on vaccines, COVID protocols. They hate it all. They really do. And that's why they want to crack down on this. So there you go. He also lied about the Minnesota law that says doctors are under no obligation to provide care to babies that survive botched abortions. Under Waltz, 8 babies survived abortion attempts in Minnesota, all of whom subsequently died after little or no life-saving care was provided. That is a fact. That was not fact-checked by CBS News, of course, but that is a fact. This is another lie by Tim Waltz. He also lied saying that Trump would put in a national abortion ban. And by the way, Trump today came out and said he would veto a national abortion ban if one was ever passed because he wants it left to the states and the people. That's what he came out and said today. That's what he said today. Now, look, if you're pro-life and you disagree with that, all I can say to you is, as a fellow pro-lifer, this is not in the federal Constitution. So if we are going to be strict constructionists on the Constitution, then, yeah, that issue has to be fought out in the states. Has to be fought out in the states. And I've been saying this for years. And I understand about the idea of the concept of the Constitution protecting life and liberty and property and that debate. I get it. I do. I understand that. But the practical reality is the Constitution is not supposed to be philosophical. The Constitution is supposed to be very narrowly constructed and narrowly viewed, and it's not a living, breathing document. And we don't want to interject philosophy into it because that's what the left does all the time. So I think that is the only answer. And then you fight like hell on the state level. That's what you do. You fight like hell on the state level. You try to influence people. You try to influence people through policy and example and prayer and protest and all the other things, because the people's representatives are closest at the state level than they are at the federal level. And if it's not in the Constitution, then we got to get away from things that are in the Constitution based on the readings of the Constitution. So I do want to take your thoughts and your calls on this. Let me go to Sharon is in. I'm not sure where Sharon's calling from, but Sharon, your thoughts on J.D. Vance last night?
Yes, sir. Hi, Rich. I've never talked to you before, but I just felt my heart went out to him because I felt like he was a class act. And if anybody could vote for anybody other than him, there's something wrong. He just reminded me of our Lord when he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I could see the pain in his eyes, and I could see that he held back. And I just felt really a special feeling for him. I can't tell you. I think he's one of the greatest guys. I think he's probably a real good Christian man. And my heart went out for him because I think he did the best he could and held back on things that he probably wanted to say, but Christian in his mind said no.
All right. Well, thank you, Sharon. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I appreciate it very much. I think that he showed a lot of poise, restraint last night at times, and I think it paid off very well for him, no question about it. Joe's in Columbus. Joe, what's up, my man?
Rich, I'll tell you, J.D. Vance could not have done any better than what he did last night, and the more he speaks, the better he gets. He speaks in a matter and entirety that cannot be refuted. I was gushing over him. And, yeah, just like Sharon just said, he takes it on the chin and turns the other cheek, and he comes right back and responds. He responds so well. But what I also want to talk about was the hypocrisy of the left was out there for everyone to see last night. They no sooner talked about censorship, and they tried to censor the guy.
Yeah, they did. They wouldn't let him
right
explain
there.
His point. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. Literally, as he's saying that.
The importance of censorship, and then shut up, J.D., you said enough. I get you know.
Yeah.
It's just absurd.
All right, Joe, thanks, buddy. I got to run. I got a guest coming up next, but hope to see you in K-Bay. You coming?
You got it, pal.
All right, good. Hopefully we'll see you there. October 11th, coming up, all right? Just a week from Friday, so you better be there. It's a holiday weekend, too. It's Columbus Day weekend. So make a weekend out of it. Why not? What the heck? Or just come for the day. Whatever. All right, let's talk about energy policy. That was debated last night. We'll get Daniel Turner's thoughts on J.D. Vance embracing nuclear power last night, too. I thought that was great. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Streaming live on YouTube. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.